90904. Looking next at some of the legal do's and don'ts of being a social influencer these days. It's never been easier, well, in inverted commas, because that I feel takes quite a bit of skill to generate income simply by expressing who you are. Social media platforms have given people that opportunity. We call them social influencers. We follow some of our favorites, and we may even pay attention to what they say when it comes to marketing of certain brands. But are there parameters which influencers need to be aware of? Helping us understand this particular landscape, Rhys May from Cliff-Dekker Hofmeyr.
The Honest Truth with Benito Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
It's never been easier to generate income by simply expressing who you are. Social media platforms have given people from all corners of the globe the opportunity to connect and broadcast their lives, interests, and content in exchange for monetary rewards. However, with this influencer power comes great responsibility. Joining us to share some of the top legal do's and don'ts is Senior Associate for the Competition Law Practice at Cliff-Dekker Hofmeyr, Rhys May. Mr. May, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Hello, Benita, and thank you so much for having me on Smile FM.
Thank you so much for your time, Rhys. Let's just set the stall out and get some understanding of social media influencers. What are they?
Sure, that is a question that I've also been grappling with because I'm in my 20s, but despite the age, I am not very active. I'm a bit of a grandpa on Instagram, so I had to do a lot of research myself. But basically, Benita, our understanding is that a social media influencer is someone like you and me with an Instagram account that has quite a wide following. And because of this following, they have the ability to generate some form of income through advertising products from various players. So, for example, a clothing manufacturer comes to you and they want to sponsor you to provide an advertising to a very select group of your followers. So it's very targeted and cost effective. And it's also quite powerful because it's quite a personal way to advertise. So it's generally quite relatable as well.
So it puts the influencer in quite a position. What then are some of the parameters with which they need to be aware of when they do market various products? What are the legal do's and don'ts?
All right. Thank you, Benita. So we've looked at it from a competition law and consumer protection law angle, and the main sort of trends we found, especially around Europe, is that the main emphasis from a consumer protection law perspective is that influencers should tag their posts and make sure that, you know, the firm or the company that's sponsoring the actual post is made aware in the actual post of who is sponsoring, because failing to do so would be, or it's at least it could be arguable to be misleading. And it would be offense under regional law here in Africa, as well as national law in SA. Mm. And then from a competition law perspective, we see that because these influencers act as little companies by themselves providing advertising services, that they can be subject to competition law. So influencers who compete with one another, so in other words, who have both, you know, large followings, can't necessarily speak to one another to decide on prices and, you know, the conditions in which they interact with the sponsors. So those are the main items that we picked up that would really be major don'ts for influencers.
So, Rhys, what regulations and policies then can be put in place to promote best practice and ensure that there is compliance?
Yeah, so it's quite an unusual question, because all of these, when we had a look at all the regulations, all of the ones we had a look at were promulgated either in the late 90s or early 2000s. So, and they, you know, are written to generally apply to everyone and to most economic conduct. So it hasn't really been updated with the times, because by the time that the Competition Act and other regulations were drafted, influencer marketing wasn't even a, you know, a remote thought. So, yeah, from a regulatory perspective, it would be quite good to get some granularity as to when it would be misleading, especially from a consumer protection law perspective. You know, when should you tag? You know, how should you tag? Must it be in the hashtags? You know, get some more granular detail to make sure that it's a level legal playing field for all these influencers to spread their message. So, and that would equally be applicable from the competition law perspective to determine, you know, what would the threshold be for you to be subject to the Competition Act? When are you an individual and when would you be an entity that forms within that realm? That's quite a mystery at this stage and subject to, you know, quite a wide scope of argument.
Why do we not have that granular detail that you feel would be most helpful at this stage?
I think we're still coming to terms with the legislation we have, to be honest. And even though the Competition Commission in particular have been trying to understand, you know, these new age markets, especially on the tech front, and this seems like a you know, a quick follow-up. So, to be honest, the whole legislative process takes some time, and technology and social media, it just moves that much faster. So we might get some more granularity, but by the time that comes out, we'll probably have another influencer marketing or probably TikTok video marketing craze that we'd have to deal with and regulate for. So yeah, the law is just too slow for tech and social media.
What then would the implications be, for example, if there isn't that disclosure from an influencer marketing point of view? You mentioned earlier the importance of tagging and disclosing the brand that you engaging with. With the fact that there isn't this legislation at the moment that can assist authorities.
Yeah, it's actually quite a slippery slope. If so, there are quite a few issues, and the one is the ease at which you can notify complaints, especially from a competition law perspective and consumer perspective. There's commissions that investigate sort of for free. So the risk that someone could notify you and you could, you know, get involved in a long legal debate is actually quite real. And if you manage to slip, from a competition law perspective, it could be 10% of your turnover. That's in the regional sort of regional African law as well as an SA. So 10% of your turnover as an influencer, especially if it's your livelihood, is huge. And I mean, considering you sell yourself, the reputational damage is, you know, equally as damaging.
Rhys May joining us in conversation this evening, senior associate for the competition law practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. So although the law hasn't quite caught up yet, there are important considerations from an influencer marketing point of view, as you point out, Rhys. So it's really not a free for all at this stage. What is the difference? You've been citing competition law and consumer protection. What is the difference between the two in relation to social influencers?
Yes, so they're actually related beasts. Think of them as sort of cousins of one another. So consumer protection law would be the law that governs consumers as far as they directly interact with businesses. So that would be requirements to make sure that, you know, products are labeled, that you can return unsafe products, and that you have the necessary disclosures. So it operates on a very personal level for each consumer, whereas with competition law, it's a similar concept, but on a more macro level. So it makes sure that, you know, all companies play nice with each other, that the markets are good and competitive, and at the end of the day, consumers get good prices, a wide selection, you know, many choices, and all the rest. So, but specifically for influencer marketing, the laws apply to an influencer in different capacities. So a consumer protection, from the consumer protection angle, it'll apply to the influencer in their personal capacity, whereas from the consumer, from a competition law perspective, they'll be actually classified as a firm or an undertaking, which means they will, for the purposes of competition law, be viewed as little companies, which I think a lot of influencers don't realize could be the consequence.
Speaking of consequences, bearing in mind that social media posts have a global reach, is this something that influencers also need to bear in mind when operating from a particular jurisdiction?
Definitely. And especially with the regional African laws, that the standard for bringing in their jurisdiction is actually quite low. The threshold mainly being, well, for the COMESA region, which is 21 African countries, is whether it has an influence in COMESA region. And as you said, I mean, the scope and the reach for influencer marketing is basically limitless. So if your post trends or even gets, you know, reshared in these various different African countries, you know, there is a risk that you could be brought into the jurisdiction, even though South Africa itself isn't part of the regional laws. So, yeah, the scope is actually quite scary, well, in theory. So, yeah, it's something you must look out for.
That COMESA that you refer to, that's the common market for Eastern and Southern African, basically our region.
That's right, yeah. So pretty much from South Africa all the way up our East Coast, yeah. So it's 21 out of, 52 African countries. So, yeah, it's quite considerable.
And its scope does have an impact, as you mentioned now, Rhys.
Yeah, definitely. And also there's understanding between, you know, the South African authorities and the COMESA ones. So, in other words, the South African authorities can actually assist COMESA if there were to be any investigation. So, yeah, it is definitely becoming a more regional focused area of law.
Lastly, what would your advice then be to influencers, Rhys?
My advice at this stage, especially because it's so murky, would be to tag your posts and to, you know, expressly mention who the sponsor would be, even if it is an everyday, if you're sponsored by Leisurewear, tag them every day as you know, as often as possible. And also, if you are an influencer, don't engage with other influencers, you know, to try and determine what rates they set and, you know, the conditions in which they engage with their sponsors, because I can imagine that would be very tempting for individuals to, you know, with limited bargaining power, to try and have these discussions, especially in light of, you know, their clients being big companies. So in short, don't speak about competitively sensitive information with other influencers, and tag.
Rhys May, Senior Associate for the Competition Law Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Appreciate you joining us and for sharing these insights, Rhys. Thank you so much.